story of a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Precious blood that's on him.
Oh, he's risen.
King Jesus. Someone give him a praise this morning. Resurrected One. Hey,
Resurrected One, shining like the sun,
breaking every chain,
breaking through the fear. Victory is here, victory is here now. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh, hallelujah.
Jesus, be lifted higher. We serve a living.
Oh,
yeah. Risen, he's risen. Forever glorified.
Ever glorified. That you serve a God who's already won. Come on, is anybody fighting any battle today that you can give to the Lord? If you are, I want you to put your hands up and say, it's yours today. It's yours today, Lord. And we thank you, God, for what you're doing. We thank you that you've already won. We thank you, Lord, that the battle is yours and we have nothing to fear today. So we give you all our praise and all our worship today with all our might. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him in this place.
Rushing in and darkness comes.
Let us
remember he already won.
Yeah.
In Jesus we triumph. Our God has overcome. Forever the Savior, he has all.
Come on, like this.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus, our Prince of Peace, is already won. Yeah. In Jesus, we triumph. Our God has overcome forever. The Savior.
Come on, let's lift him up right now.
Darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Praise God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have access to something, someone that is bigger than anything that comes against us. Hallelujah. We're grateful today, Father. Your grace and mercy found us when we're far from you. And now here we are in your house, in your presence, with your people. And God, we're so grateful. I pray that you'll have your way in the remainder of this meeting, tonight, this week, the rest of the year. We believe that as long as you're made supreme in our lives, everything's got to fall into order. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say a good amen. Amen and amen. Would you turn to about four people and say, this is your year, if you would, please. About four people, tell them, this is your year. Then you can be seated. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. What a beautiful, beautiful day to be in God's house. Amen. You glad to be alive? Kicking, screaming, shouting, praying, rejoicing, thanking God. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. Well, welcome if you're visiting today. We're so glad that you've chosen to be with us. We're grateful that of all the churches on this road, you stopped at 185 Main Road. Everybody that's watching online, let's welcome everybody. Let them know we're glad that everybody's with us today. Beautiful, beautiful day, and we're grateful for it. Look, February starts this week. That's a short month, and then we get through March, and April's here, and you're mowing your lawn, you're swatting flies. I mean, we're almost there. We're almost there. Speaking of time passing by, where's Helen Nealon? Helen, stand real quick, if you would, please, or somebody help her. Today, she turns 80. Wish her a happy birthday, if you would, please. 80 years young. 80 years young and can out-hike anybody in this church. I can promise you that. Well, look, those of you that have been joining us on the 21-day challenge, this is day number 21. And God has been doing some great things, and today we expect some great things to take place. This morning, tonight, we gather at 5 o'clock for our prayer and communion service. Kids on the Move will be having a meeting there, a special service. But in here, we're going to pray, we're going to have communion, we're going to worship, we're going to have some special prayers. I can't tell you everything because we're just going to see how it flows. But God's going to do some big things here tonight. God's spoken to me what to share with you on how to really implement the manifestation of God's promises. But let's just see a raising of hand. How many of you at some level participated in the 21-day challenge? Raise your hand up nice and high. Now that is incredible. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Phenomenal progress, phenomenal reports of what God is doing. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, you don't have to turn there, but God says these are the things that I want to happen when people fast and pray. He said these are the things that I want taking place in verse 6, to free those who are wrongly imprisoned, to lighten the burden of those who work for you, to let the oppressed go free, remove the chains that bind people, and share your food with the hungry. Share your food. So an adequate fast in God's eyes is to put away natural desires, to replace that with prayer, time in the Word, building your faith. But he says at the same time, you need to, in a fast, to have the kind that God wants to make sure a few things happens, and one of them being make sure that people that don't have food are fed. And today we want to celebrate a little bit with Safe Place Community Center, because Safe Place Food Pantry, because that's exactly what they've been doing, not just over 21 days, but they do it 52 weeks a year, and we're so grateful for how God is using them. And to give you a little bit of insight, I want you to see this video to introduce you to the Safe Place Food Pantry.
People come in and they'll have a tear in their eye.
You end up crying along with them. But they're also thankful for the food that they're receiving that day.
It's the elderly, it's young families, it's people with jobs, you know, disabled, that aren't working. It's all walks of life.
After we have our prayer, our circle of prayer, he opens the door, welcomes the people in. And I'll tell you that it's overwhelming to see the people coming through.
It's hard to even get out to put the wedge in under the door to hold the door open because there's so many standing behind it. There's 32 to 43 of us. None of us are paid. We do this because we love helping people. The shelves get filled up by very special organizations that feel like we do, that people need help. We go out and talk to these businesses and see what they can do to help us.
Some days we think, oh, maybe we won't have so much come the next time to give food out. But look, something happens and somebody comes through for us.
Simply and truthfully, we pray. We pray and God has always supplied us. We'll pick up 11 to 14,000 pounds. If you figure that out, that's about 7 ton. That goes out in 2 days. The dry goods is probably another ton that goes out there.
If you're not familiar with where Safe Place is, if you're to go in the center of town, you'll see that a large white building. It's the Oddfellows Hall that we lease from the town, and we've been there for a number of years. Let me give you some numbers before I introduce you to some of the volunteers that are a part of this phenomenal, phenomenal ministry. Now, these numbers I'm going to give you are not numbers that Bud Drew, the director, or his team, or anybody else put together. It was the USDA. That they work very closely with, and Homeland Security, that they work. But these numbers come from the USDA report, okay, that they give us. And I'm going to say these numbers twice because I think they're so fantastic. I want to make sure that you get them, and I'm going to do my best to communicate them right. On average of serving 650 families per month, based on this average that 650 different families are served on a month, here are the annual totals for 2017. 8,985 families served. 18,397 people in those families. 304 ton of food given by 31 volunteers giving 33,280 hours. Now, hold on. Let me read that to you one more time. 650 families per month equals an annual total of 8,985 families fed, representing 18,397 people. We're given 304 tons of food by 31 volunteers who donated 33,280 hours, which the minimum wage in 2017 was $9 an hour, would be a payroll of $299,520. I want all of the volunteers to please stand that are here today. Not all that volunteer are part of this church, but all the volunteers that serve down there. Would you please stand to your feet down here and in other places back there, David? Come on, let's give them a good round of applause and a big thank you. That's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Thank you so much, Bud. Just turn around and wave at everybody so everybody can see your handsome face. Yeah, we love Bud. Yeah, that's you. We love Bud. Walter Young, really... gives great oversight, but Bud is the boots on the ground, And as many, hopefully all of you know, you know, Bud not only serves this ministry so faithfully and so well, and is not paid to do this, and then on top of that, had to say goodbye to his wife last year. Lonnie's gone to heaven, and this guy's a force to be reckoned with. If it was easy, there would be food pantries like this all over the state of Maine. But the USDA gave our food pantry the number one rating in all of the state. And we're so grateful for Bud's commitment, really. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Now, Bud, that does not account the backpack program either, does it? Or does it? Is the backpack? No, the backpack program is not even in there. And each summer, Blaine Whitney oversees a golf tournament and brings in so many different businesses. And I don't know what the total raised last year. How much? $21,000 raised in one golf tournament to help get backpacks and food to give to the children at the different schools. Children will get a backpack as they leave school for the weekend. The backpack's full of enough food to go home and eat over the weekend, because some kids are not eating until they come back to school. And then the kids come back with their empty backpack, and they're filled again down at the food pantry. One more time, let's give God thanks and praise for that. Project 18 is a name that we've given to an emphasis that we've placed around here to start really, to step up our outreach of ministries. And one of those projects that I told you that we wanted to undertake was paying off that truck that Safe Place uses. It is absolutely required. There literally is food in different locations that has to be thrown away because different organizations do not have the transportation available to pick the food up. And the reason that Bud and his team are able to is they have a dynamic vehicle and guys that are available and ladies that are available to travel. What you see up there, did you see that in the parking lot when you came in? Did you see? How could you miss it? How could you miss it? And that is a 2005 Freightliner with a 29-foot box truck. We bought it in February 2015 for $22,575. And tomorrow, Barbara will send the check because of your Project 18 giving and pay that bugger off. And we'll own that truck. Safe Place will have it. Come on, let's thank you so much for doing this. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. I really love the scripture, owe no man anything but love. And that's what we want to position ourselves in. To owe no man anything but love, and it's a fantastic thing. So this ministry, you know, it started small, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, but look at how God has grown it and taken care of it. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Once again, thank you for being a part of Project 18. If you've not been a part of that, you can. Just go see Barbara at the office. All right, ushers, come. Let's worship the Lord in our giving today. Let me share a few announcements with you while you're getting your offering ready today. We have a new little tool for you to use, and it's called church11a.info. All right, I don't know if there's a screen up there. If you can hit that for me. Look, no, that's it. We have it. We're just not going to show it. What is it? cchurch11a.info. If you search for that, like on a website, you know, I don't honestly understand it myself, so I'm doing my best. But if you go there, cchurch, come here, Paul, real quick, if you would, because you can describe it a lot better, because I'm still trying, I don't even know how to make phone calls with my phone anymore. So I heard that you can dial people and get them in person. But tell them what this thing does. There it is right there.
You can get. I'll just read it. We have a website that is great for people who are checking out the church to come see service times and locations and stuff that we do there. But this is for you guys when you want to get plugged in, when you want to get involved, if you want to download some sermon notes, sign up for things, sign up, get some calendar dates and sign up for events. This is the perfect way for you to actually get connected. So if you're looking for something to do and you're like, what can I do? I'm here. I love this church. I'm a part of it. Go to cchurch11a.info and you can sign up for things, and you'll get an email back probably from Jamie Dunphy or one of us. We'll get back in touch with you and we'll connect you to the proper place, or you can get all the information you need for the upcoming events there. And why CChurch11A, you ask? That is our handle for all of our social media. So our Facebook and our Twitter and our Instagram page are all at CChurch11A, just so we can all be on the same page. All right?
Well done. Very well done. Very well done. That's incredible. Just incredible. Just the knowledge and the wisdom, the communication skills. It's phenomenal. Once again. So thank you for Paul, because I'd have spent 10 minutes and nobody would have known what I'd said about that. But get it. Get all the sermon notes. Everything's right there. There's a business meeting next Sunday after the morning service. We're going to all eat in the fellowship hall. And then there's a membership meeting, a business meeting right in here. Now, if you're not a member and you want to be a member, see Barbara at the office. Get a application. Fill it out. Return it today. Okay, today. And then February the 7th is First Wednesday. We don't want to miss that. We have a great time right here in the main auditorium. Great worship. Great time together. Ignite, Soul Fire together. Kids on the Move have a great service. Nursery. It's a great way to start your month. And then on February the 11th is Better Together. That evening, we're going to be talking about the love languages. It's a phenomenal service for married couples, couples who want to get married, couples who are wondering about their marriage. This is a fantastic time for you to come. We're going to be a blessing to you as we're going to talk about the love languages. All right? God bless you as you give today. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be a part of what you're doing in the earth today. And today we give to you what is yours, and we give to you because we love you. We honor you today in our lives and in our giving. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen and amen. God bless you as you give today. And just before we get into the word this morning, my wife is not here, as you can notice. And so I'm a little out of sorts as I am when she's not here. But yesterday in a basketball game, my son plays basketball. And he went up for a layup, and the guys on the other team took his feet out from underneath him, and he landed on his head and got a concussion. So we took him to the hospital during the game, and it was weird. He couldn't remember anything, of the day, that is. And so we just prayed for him and prayed on the way in, and bits and pieces were coming back to him. And so he's still in a bit of a fog, but he's doing okay. But Mama's there. How many know when you're sick, you don't need Dad? You need Mom. And so that's where she is. And he's getting better, but he just needs to rest by the doctor's orders. And we're grateful that it's no worse than that. And it's a good thing he's got a ward head. Our heads are pretty thick. So anybody else, it had done far more damage. But we can take quite a drop, to be quite honest with you. All right. That's too much information. Okay. Hey, Stacy Guerin is here. Where is Stacy Guerin? Where are you, Stacy? Would you stand? Oh, right down here. Stacy, would you stand? She's your representative from many of you folks. We're so honored to have you here with us, Stacy. Thank you. Stacy is a tremendous friend to her constituents, this church down in Augusta, and we're grateful for you. Glad that you're here today. All right, let's stand together. Thank you, Heather. I'm not going to sing today. I don't know why you laughed at that, but maybe it was more out of relief. But I'm not going to sing today. Praise God. Is it okay if I just go right into the Word this morning and just get right to business? If you would go in your Bibles to the book of Zechariah, if you've got church11a.info, the notes are already there. You're getting the preview of what I'm going to preach today. But if you don't, then go to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9. Have you enjoyed the staff and their devotions with you every single day of the month, or the 21 days? They've done a phenomenal job. So proud of them. And we'll sharpen that tool to be a isn't it neat? We can be an encouragement to each other 7 days a week. 7 days a week. Of all the stuff that's on social media, you want to get some good stuff. Amen? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9 reads this way. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple. Now, if these words and names are confusing or not in your understanding, it's not that hard. I'll explain. Don't let it intimidate you. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Verse 10. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. I'm going to read that again to you. I like it. Do not despise these small beginnings. Why? For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. He doesn't wait till that situation is remedied before he rejoices. He rejoices at the beginning of a breakthrough. He rejoices at the beginning of a miracle. He rejoices at the beginning of a new, fresh commitment. He rejoices at the beginning of a step of faith. How many are glad that he's a God that doesn't wait for you to perform? He'll rejoice before he sees what you do, because he knows if you lean on him, he's going to help you through. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing as we have been this year, but specifically over this day that we crown with joy and expectation. And I pray that you'll take this one simple message and divide it up amongst the hundreds that have gathered here and those that are online, and make it applicable to every single individual, I pray. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for God's word. The great sequoia tree in the redwood forest can grow so large, maybe you've seen the pictures where they can actually drive trucks through them. A sequoia tree can grow up to 367 feet tall, 22 feet wide. A root system that reaches down to 13 feet and reaches in one-way radius of 80 feet wide. They can live up to 2,000 years. And not only that, but they have such qualities in them that they're nearly indestructible. But I think what's interesting most about the sequoia tree is that if you take the seed that would create the sequoia tree, it is the same size as the seed of a tomato plant. If you were to look at the two seeds, you would say they both have equal potential, but by far the greater one comes through something very, very small. In this text that we read today, Zechariah has returned back to Jerusalem after he and his fellow Jewish brothers and sisters had been set free from a 70-year captivity in Babylon. 70 years prior, Nebuchadnezzar took his military and took the best of the Jews in Israel and took them captive, and before they took them away, they annihilated the temple, because the temple was the center of activity and the hope of the Jewish people. So this is what he did to decimate Israel, God's people, by taking the choice and the best people away and destroying the center of worship. When Zechariah comes back, he has the promise, and they're returning because God had prophesied it would happen. But when he comes back, and he has this great dream of rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the nation and rebuilding his life, he gets disappointed with what he sees. He's encouraged by the prophecy and its fulfillment, but he's discouraged by his current situation. Have you ever been there? And when he looks at it, he realizes this is nothing but a pile of trash. This looks like somebody set off a bomb, and there's nothing useful in an area that I totally depended on success. And God sends Zechariah a text. And Zechariah sees the little bubbles just bouncing around, saying, oh, good, God's going to speak to me. God's going to speak to me. Oh, he's going to tell me, he's going to send me a builder. He's going to send us, he's going to send a building out of the sky. Oh, I can't wait to hear how God's going to send money. It's going to rain money. Oh, Zechariah is so excited. And in comes the text. Ding. He opens it up, and this is God's message. Hey, Zach. Don't despise this small beginning. Really. And he waits for the bubble to come back up. And that's all God's got to say. Really. I expected more. I expected a great prophecy. I expected a miracle. I expected something to fall out of heaven. And this is the only thing God has to say to him. Do not hate where you are right now. Because the attitude that you carry concerning something that you're disappointed with will directly determine what comes out of it. He says to Zechariah, Don't despise it. In other words, he's saying don't endure it. He's not saying, you know, just get through it. Come on. He doesn't say just sing your way through it. He doesn't say, well, just, you know, grit your teeth. Be like a bulldog, bite and breathe. Just hang in there. Pray that you'll hold out to the end. That's a famous 70s testimony. God says, look, I know that you got a small beginning. And I not only want you to not just endure it, I want you to enjoy it. What? Don't despise means don't dishonor it, honor it. See, already, now you know how Zechariah felt, because you're saying, is this really what the preacher's got to preach to me today? Because, you know, even if you're mad at it, at least you're motivated out of anger. Like in preaching, sometimes I say things just to make people mad, because mad people are paying attention. He's like, is that all you got? Because God, look what it says. For the Lord rejoices. You rejoice when it's done, but God rejoices when it begins. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what new beginning you have, but I know this about a new beginning. It's a time indicated that something is missing, little support is given, and resources are not easily available. Let me say that to you again. Something is missing. You have little to work with, and no support is available. I don't know what your new beginning is. Maybe you're starting over in your marriage. Maybe you're starting over with your children. Maybe you're starting over with your stepchildren. Maybe you're starting over with your father. Maybe you're starting over with your mother. Maybe you're starting a new business. Maybe you just started a new walk with faith. But I found this, anytime you try to do something new, you often notice that something's missing. There's little support and few resources. But God is involved in small beginnings. Too many people have forfeited God's best because they've let the circumstance dictate their view of the thing, and they think God doesn't get involved in something this small. But I want you to hear this today. God's committed to a small beginning. Did not Jesus say the faith that moves mountains is the size of a mustard seed? If you take a mustard seed and put it in the palm of your hand, you'll lose it. It's so small. You got to put it on the tip of your finger, and if you breathe on it wrong, it'll just blow away. And Jesus said, if you'll take a faith that even has a small beginning and put that in my hands, I can take a small beginning and make it have large results. Think about Jesus, who preached and prophesied his dynamic ministry and a change for humanity. And yet, he's on the cross and he dies alone. By today's standard, religious people would have said, you're a failure, Jesus. Look at you, you're dying and you only have your mother, another lady, and a disciple there to observe it. You've done all this great ministry. You've had great... Somebody hear what I'm preaching today. You've fed thousands. You've had masses follow you. But look at you now. Come on, how many know the devil will talk to you that way? You've had all these victories, but look at you now. If God was that good, why are you going through this now? But this Jesus who died alone on the cross had a new beginning there, has translated into billions of Christians all over the planet, and the nations have been shaken because God rejoices to see the work begin. What's that mean? I like it, what I'm preaching. When I slap my leg twice, it's I like what I'm preaching, and the Charlie horse is still available. Hallelujah, I'm strong. Wow, I'm strong. I'm gonna shake it off. Hallelujah. Shake it off. Well, that was a good one, though. From now on, I'm going to punch Vinny's leg when I get anointed. Here are the advantages of a small beginning. Number one, internal access is found. Strength is realized. See, if all you ever do is live off of what you see or what you hear or what you feel, you'll always be subject to what you see or what you feel. And how many understand the what you see and the how you feel is not always the way you want to respond? You learn to dig deep. You stop letting what people say about you determine your view of the future. You start saying, what does God say about me? And that will demotivate me for the future. You stop looking for people's applause and you start looking for heaven's direction. Hallelujah. You can be strong. I've seen people fall over in victory, but I've seen other people rise up in destruction. Because that one learned how to reach in. Your real friends are revealed in a small beginning. Hello? Right? You ever heard failure is often orphaned, but success has many fathers? If you have somebody who'll stand by you when nobody else did because you're in a small beginning, don't delete their phone number, return their phone calls. Watch the people who show up after you do get the job or after you do get the money or after you do get the inheritance. You want to watch them. When you have nothing to offer and somebody still loves you, you ought to embrace their love. I don't care if they're not the coolest kid in your class. I don't care if they're not the most successful people in your town. Real friends really stand there when you're in a small beginning. The third thing is you become grateful. Gratitude is released. Why? Because you realized the victory I'm experiencing came when I had nothing much to offer myself. I heard of a fisherman down south, and he would catch all these fish, and he would throw them in, is it the well? Am I saying that right? In the well of his boat. And by the time he would get back to shore, because he would fish for hours, he'd open the top of the well, and the fish would be pale, barely moving, lethargic, and some would be dead. So what he did the next time is he went and bought a big catfish, and he put it in the well. And every fish that he would catch, he would throw it in the well. And by the time he got back, he opened the lid, and those fish were full colored, fully alive, swimming around, all kinds of energy. Why? Because the catfish was trying to eat them. The thing that wanted to eat them was the thing that kept them alive. I'm learning. I'm going to start hitting with my left hand because I'm not so strong over there. I'm just saying that sometimes a small beginning is nothing but a catfish that's keeping you alive, because sometimes we get comfortable and we get lazy and we get compromised. But sometimes a small beginning comes in like a catfish and say, you know, the devil meant to kill me in a small beginning, but all he did was show me to be grateful for another day. I'm glad the sun rose this morning. I'm glad I can talk to, come on. I'm glad I'm living, breathing. I got faith. I got more than I realized. Some of you in your poorest moment are better off than others in their richest moment, because you've learned how to honor a small beginning. I love this about God. The Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 13, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. He does not say, I am Alpha and then Omega. He does not say, I am first and then I'm last. He doesn't say I'm beginning and then I get to the end. He says while he's Alpha, he is Omega. While he's first, he's last. While he's beginning, he's end. Come on. I don't know. Have you got Liam in here? Is Liam in here? Oh, I'm looking. Anybody got a baby in here? Are there any babies in church? Bring him up. Lisa, bring him. No, Lisa, I want you to bring him. Yeah, come on. The only time you want to give him to his mother. I don't know. I think you got a pretty tight hold on him. All right. Okay, Lisa. You know, I'm the pastor, so it's important that you always have admiration and respect for my position. Praise God. This is Alpha. He's the beginning. Right? How many understand? He's the beginning. Remember, Pastor. Pastor. Omega. Alpha. Omega. When we start something new, we think that God is Alpha, but not Omega. But the Bible says that when we get into something new, He is Alpha and Omega. Okay, now watch. Watch. I'm trying to be good because I got a baby on the platform. So you and I are limited to space and time, right? Like, we're limited to space and time. So space, like, I'm here, but I can't be in California at the same time. Not that I would ever want to be. But if I could be in two places at once, California is not one place. And so I'm limited in time. Like, I can't get out of the fact that it's 11:23. And I can't get to 11:24, and I can't go back to 11:22. So I'm limited to space, main, and I'm limited to time, 11:23. But God is not limited to space or circumstance, and He's not limited to 11:24. So in other words, you and I won't know how this service ends until we get there. But God already knows how the service ends because He's already been there. So He is God Alpha, and He is God Omega. He is God first, and He's God last. He's God the beginning, and He's God, you're almost at the end. Pastor, touch not my anointed, and do my servant no harm. It's the word, sister. No, you're a picture of God. Okay, all right, you're okay with that. All right, well, all right. You can't be bought. In my circumstance, God comes to me as Omega, but He's also with me in my Alpha. So why would I not want to run to God in a small beginning when the one who already knows how it's going to end is going to give me my strength in my beginning? Thank you, Lisa. You're a blessing. In other words, why do I want to come to God in the middle of... Some of you, I feel this in my spirit. Some of you are facing a tight spot. You have little support and no resources right now. And you automatically want to dismiss God out of that small beginning. But please hear what I'm saying to you. You want to run as fast to God as you can, because the God who knows what you need at the end will start with you in the beginning and start giving you in the beginning what you'll need to get through to the end. I think you ought to praise God for His power and His presence. Got to be careful, single person, that in your Alpha, you try to make your thing happen. When God has already planned your ending, and God has already got the right spouse, but if in the new beginning, you get yourself hooked up to Wild Bill Hitchcock, hello, and Boogie Shoo Shoo, when God's got the blessing waiting for you over here. So you just, in your singleness, say, God, just meet me now and make me what I need to be. Because when I meet Prince Charming, I want to be the ready for Prince Charming. When you get me, come on somebody. You shouldn't start bringing your kids to church when they're 17. That's too late if you haven't started. But you ought to start when they're infants. Bring them. That's what Michaela's doing. She's bringing that little boy to church in his beginning. Why? Because that little boy will meet in the presence of God, a God that's already been at his ending, and that little boy will serve God and fulfill his destiny. Some of you have got children, they're far from God, and you say it can't happen. I'll tell you right now, in the name of Jesus, bring that teenager to God now, because who they meet now is going to help them then. Let's talk about King David, and I'll conclude. See, the devil wants to contaminate. Please hear what I'm going to tell you. Somebody's gone through a tremendous setback, and you feel like you're starting over, and the Lord wanted me to tell you that the devil loves to contaminate alphas to derail your omega. You know, it's easy, hard for me to slow down, but I will at that. When you've been through a disappointment, you thought it was a disappointment, and you say, here I am starting over again. It's no time to get spiritually lazy. It's time to get up on your feet and say, devil, I know you're going to try to contaminate my new beginning. But in the name of Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega is with me right now. And you're laughing now, but I'll laugh later. Stop comparing your new beginning with somebody else's. Let other people's spiritual victories challenge you, but never let them be your comparison. Because they're in chapter 8, you're in chapter 1. Hello. And what you cry about today, you'll laugh about in May. David is out in the field tending sheep. The great King David. He shouldn't be tending sheep. He's got a very wealthy dad named Jesse. And no wealthy businessman would ever send their son out to tend the sheep because it was a dangerous job. They hired people to do that. So not only did Jesse despise his own son, but he risked his own son's life. Yet somebody comes from a house, the servant says to David while he's shepherding the sheep, quick, your dad wants you. He goes into the house and there's Samuel, the prophet. And they say, Samuel's here to anoint the next king of Israel. And David's like, well, why am I here? Well, it's because Samuel looked at your seven big old brothers and he said, that ain't it, that ain't it, that ain't it, that ain't it. And Samuel said to Jesse, if you don't have another son here, I'll come back in 9 months. His mother named Jesse is David's dad, but the mother, we don't know where she is. Her real name means snake. I got an idea. She was like a WWE wrestler. And he come from a tough situation. Please hear what I'm telling you. And David bends a knee. The least likely person. That's why you don't want to quit in the field. Because you never know when you're going to be called into the house. David bends a knee and Samuel takes the oil. We don't do a little dabble, do you? He pours it out. He stands up with oil-drenched body. And he turns around, picks up his slingshot. And he goes back out in the field to risk his life to tend some stinking old sheep. A little while later, there's another call. Quick, your dad wants you. Who knows? Maybe it's years. I don't know. And the Bible says that Jesse said to his boy, look, your brothers are out fighting war, and I need you to take them bread and cheese. So David was a pizza delivery boy. All great people start delivering pizza. And when he takes the dominoes out, he sees his brothers, and his brothers are all worked up. What's going on? David says. You see that 9'9" man over there, the Philistines? Yeah. He's come out for 40 days and challenged us to send out our best fighter. And whoever wins on this one-on-one match wins the war. David says, well, isn't there a cause? Why are you just standing here? And these guys are like, we're shaking in our boots. We can't take him. So David says, well, get me somebody who'll give me authority to walk out there and kill him. Oh, I like this. Not fight him, kill him. Because when you have a small beginning, you're not satisfied with getting by. You want to have absolute victory because you pay too high a price in the hard time to just settle in the good time. David finds an audience with Saul and he says to Saul, I want to go fight that big-headed goofball. It's the Hebrew. You know, I want to fight that big-headed goofball. And Saul says, well, here's my armor, because Saul wanted it to look like he was going out to fight. When you're in a small beginning, don't let anybody take advantage of you. David says, I don't need that armor. That don't fit me. I got a slingshot. I wish I had my slingshot. Wayne, you made me a slingshot. I looked for it this week. I must have used it my last bear kill. Or at least put it in my pocket. And he says, you know what? I've killed the lion and I've killed the bear. I studied that out a little bit last night. You know that David not only killed the lion and the bear, but the Bible says that a lion came and stole one of his sheep. And he tracked the lion down. That's awesome, man. I love that biblical masculinity. All right, I mean, in the Hebrew, the Bible says that David was an NRA member. I don't know if you know that, but David tracked. Now, if a lion took a sheep, I'd say, bye-bye. Get it? Bye. I'd have said, that's one less sheep I have to protect. But he hunted down the lion and grabbed the lion by the beard and said, listen to me, give me my sheep back, and then killed him. So I don't need your armor. I learned how to handle tough situations in a small beginning. David walks out there, he looks at Goliath, and he says, I mean, he trash talks him. You uncircumcised Philistine. I'm going to tell you, that's personal. If you don't know what that means, ask Keith Dunphy. He'll give you, No, I'm going to tell you, you learn how to trash talk the devil in a small beginning is what I'm trying to say. You learn how to stand up in a small beginning, and you don't stand there and complain. In a small beginning, you say, I don't know how, but I do know who, and I know that he'll work on my behalf this time. A small beginning will teach you how to use the power of your words. Walk up, and he takes the slingshot, rag and a rock. I love this story. Ballistic tests were taken on that, and they said that that rock, through the ballistic test, the best that they can do for years later, went at the speed of a 9mm bullet and cracked Goliath right in the head. Now, if I were to preach it like some do, we'd go, well, the Lord got in that rock. And the Holy Ghost got in that rock. That Holy Ghost made that rock flow because he couldn't have done that on his own. But the Lord got in the rock. Watch. The reason I don't like that is because it takes the skill that David had formed in a small beginning and say it didn't matter. It was only God, so his small beginning did not. But you got to understand, when David was all by himself, he was practicing this skill. They say that David and his mighty men with a slingshot could kill a rabbit at 50 yards. I'm just saying in the private time, it's a preparation time. What I'm telling you today is while nobody was watching, he was preparing, doing something, and had no idea that one day his skill in a private time would produce a victory in a public time, not just for him, but his family and his nation. And some of you have been praying and fasting in private, thinking there'll be no public reward. But I tell you in the name of Jesus, what you perfect in private, God will execute in public. And your battle will become your victory if you don't forsake a small beginning. Hey, buddy. I'm glad to see you today, man. This is your small beginning. And God's given you people around you to give you this one. Preparation is not found in public. Preparation is found in private. I read this yesterday. Technique is being able to maneuver under low pressure. Skill is what you can do no matter what's going on. We got a lot of Christians with technique in church, but they got no skill in the battle. See, when David becomes king, he no longer has time to practice the slingshot. When you're king, you don't have time to practice the slingshot. You got to run a country. But when you're a shepherd, you have time to perfect some things so that when God does open the door for breakthrough, you can maintain your victory. Y'all okay with that? You getting it? Are you getting the point? Help me, Lord. Give it another day. Give it another week. Give it another month. Give it another year. For the Omega is working right now. I think you should lift a hand to heaven and thank the Alpha and Omega that right now he's working in a new beginning, a small beginning, a challenging time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just begin to thank God right out loud, right out loud. It's okay to give him praise without music. Go ahead, just begin to give him praise. I thank you, Lord, that no matter how small or unsupported or lack of resources I'm in a situation of right now, I thank you, Lord, that you're the one who knows what I need in the end, and you're giving it to me now in my new small beginning. Thank you, Lord. I think you could do a lot better with your voice. Begin to praise God right now. I dare you from the front row to the balcony and begin to thank God. He's got a marriage designed for you. He's got a job designed for you. He's got a reunited family designed for you. He's got a purpose designed for you now. Come on, give him better praise than that. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him like you believe what you heard preached. Maybe that'll help you a little bit. Do you believe that he can take something small and make it large? Can he can take something weak and make it strong? He can take something narrow and make it wide. He can take something out and bring it in. Come on, he can take somebody who's had messed up and he can make them a miracle. Does anybody believe that he is Alpha and Omega? Hey, hallelujah. I feel like shouting a minute if you don't mind, because I got some small beginnings, but I got a vision that God is going to make them end well. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel a little old-fashioned today. I think you ought to give them an old-fashioned wave praise right here. This is what we used to do when I was a kid. I give them a wave praise. Amen. They do waves at Fenway. We can wave in Charleston. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got the victory. I got the victory. Keep your hand. If you like defeat, keep your hand down. We don't need you. But if you like victory, come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, I thank God. Whatever it looks like right now, it won't look like it this time next year. Hallelujah. I give you praise. I give you honor in the name of Jesus. Now get up on your feet and begin to declare, my end will look different than my beginning. Come on, declare it. Agree and decree, this thing will not stay the same. This marriage will get better. My children will be saved. My body will be well. My business will get better. My community will change. Come on, somebody. For God can open a door no man can open. He can shut a door no man can shut. Come on, praise him. Lift him up. Come on, let's have a praise time. We got plenty of time.
We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Sing it, praise him, church. I dare you to give him honor.
We give you.
You're Alpha.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are
worthy. Come on, help is coming to you today. Help is coming to the balcony. Help is coming to the main floor. Help is coming online. Come on.
We give you
It's got to turn around. For God is not going to let it stay the same. He will not abandon his people. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. Give him praise today.
We give you
something.
For you are Alpha and Omega.
Let the Holy Ghost do something in this meeting today.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy.
Oh, there's something in that. You're Alpha and Omega. Declare it today. There's power in your worship.
You are Alpha.
He's with us now.
And Omega.
Your rest. He has everything you need.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy.
Have you been set back? Have you backslid? He's Alpha. He's the God of a new beginning. You're Alpha.
You are Alpha.
A job opportunity, a situation out of hand.
And Omega.
This is not the end. It's just the beginning.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy.
There's power when you worship him. Come on, magnify him. Make it strong. Let God know that you believe him.
We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are.
Something spiritual happens when people go into anointed graves. Just the voices, just the voices. Let me hear you sing it.
We give you
help is here today. Your help is here.
We give you all the glory.
Let the great I am come into your situation.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
One more time.
We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord.
Praise God.
You are
Pray, Lord, help our attitudes. For certainly, situation for you is so easy to change. And Lord, you reign over the situation. We take authority over our attitude. It's not hard, Lord. Our attitude is not hard. It's a decision that we make. And we decide to honor small beginnings. Come on. We honor you. Lord, we don't want to have a small mindset, but we don't want to hate. We want to honor. We want to make the devil frustrated, for everything he assigned to damage us only creates more honor in us. Lord, I've never met anybody that walked out of a trial with their hands in their pocket and their praise put away. But God, everybody who has spiritual victory comes out praising. I pray this year, this church not only becomes a praying church like never before, but a praising church like never before. It's power in our praise, power in our worship. It's confusing to the carnal, but it's liberty to the spiritual. It's noise to the carnal, but it's a trumpet of victory for the spiritual. Lord, let us walk into those areas and regions of complete victory. I pray for every person under the pressure, that the pressure will lift and the praise will exalt, be increased in Jesus' name. For the person that's here today that needs a new beginning spiritually, in a moment they're going to have an opportunity to serve you. Lord, I pray your spirit be so strong, no distractions in the remaining part of this important meeting, and that those that are far from you will immediately by prayer come near to you. You're near to them. Now I pray they respond to your nearness. And for those that are spiritually cold, they've just lived in such a way they realize they've backslid. It's time to get it right. God, it's a brand new beginning. They may have been intimidated to start over again, but that intimidation can no longer stay, because we got a revelation that you love to work in new beginnings. With every head bowed and every eye closed, out of respect for your neighbor and for prayer, if you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're watching online and you've not responded to that, you know, the Bible says that we're born separated from God, and the only way to bridge that gap was to have Jesus come to this earth, die the way he did, and raise from the grave as he did. And today, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman that ever calls on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved, reconnected with their Maker. And if you're here today and you've not ever prayed that prayer, you believe in God, but you've never prayed what we call the salvation prayer. The Bible says that's the pattern for entering his family. His spirit draws you. His spirit works in your life, in your heart. And then you respond to a public call. And you say, I want to be connected to Christ. I want my sins forgiven. I want a brand new beginning. If that's you today, raise your hand up nice and high. And then we'll pray for you. If that's you today, if you're here today, you say, I want to pray that prayer. God bless you, sir. I see your hand over to my left. God bless you. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you've drifted from God. You're drifting one way or the other all the time. You're either drifting toward God or you're drifting from him, but you're never neutral. You're never neutral. Just raise your hand. Is there somebody in the balcony today that says, that's me. I want to. Yes, God bless you. I see your hand up there. Yes, I see your hand down here. God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah. It's time to turn direction. Yes, I see your hand over there, young lady. God bless you. It's time to make a change. It's time for a new beginning. Dad, I'm telling you right now, you're sitting here thinking, well, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. God's going to rush into your life. He's been waiting for that decision, Dad. He's going to rush into your life, and he's going to give you. The Lord rejoices to see you come forward today. Is there anybody else? No. This is the most holy, sacred moment in the service. Yes, God bless you. I see your hand. All right, those who raise their hands, quickly come and join me across this altar. Quickly move out into the aisle. Let me pray with you. Come on, let's rejoice, people of God. Come on, altar workers. Let's rejoice. Thank God. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise.
Come on. Can I pray with you?
God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Are you coming with her?
Oh, God bless
you. Oh, it's good to see you again. Bless you. Praise God. God bless you. All right. This is a great day. Hey, buddy. Are you in Joe's house? That's awesome. Thank God for you, bud. This is awesome. You got some brothers here. That's awesome. God bless you. This is so important. You know, God is not afraid to give us new beginnings. He wants to give you deserve a brand new beginning. Isn't this awesome? It's good. God bless you, ladies. I'm so glad that you're here. I know you got your hands full. You're doing good. You're doing good. Let's pray this way together. These precious souls, every soul worth more than all the riches of the world. How many know this is so sacred, so holy? Let's pray together. You guys pray right out loud with me, if you would, please. Pray this way. We do it family style. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. You died on the cross publicly. I commit to you publicly. I repent and turn my back on the old way of living and thinking. I want to be adopted into your family. I believe when you died on the cross, you had me in mind. And you had today in mind. So I believe what you did there is helping me here. I confess that you are my Lord, my Savior. My past is washed away. It no longer exists. And I have a brand new beginning. I have a brand new start. And I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. I give you thanks for what you did to get me here. And I know you're going to help me get to where you want me in this life and in heaven. In Jesus' name, let's shout a good amen. Amen. Let's praise God for these precious people. Bless you, ladies. Now let me just say this to you. There are people here with Bibles. They want to help you. They're part of our church. Look, this is a great decision that you've made, and you deserve all the support. That's why God gave the church to the world, to encourage people in their walk of faith. And so these people are going to give you Bibles, okay? And then we're going to do our best. We can give you the Bible and then offer all kinds of spiritual help and support. We're not getting in your business. We're just making ourselves available to you. This is a great decision, and we want you to realize the full impact. This is not the end. This is the beginning, okay? This is not the checkered flag. It's the green flag. It's a brand new start, and it just goes up from here. Faith, if you can believe it, your faith will get stronger and stronger. Your joy will get greater and greater. I mean, it'll just be wonderful, all right? Just like this little precious little baby, you are in the eyes of God like this precious little baby boy. Lord, touch this precious boy. His life is yours today. His hand, your hand on his, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. If you want to fill those out, that would be wonderful. Lord, bless us this afternoon. Bring us back together tonight. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen.